And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
I want us to think together on the question of the importance, the safety of the young. I believe our day is a crucial age and a very pressing need of doing everything that we can do to help those who are young. Someone has said that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We drive along the highways of our nation. We'll notice many times that guardrails have been erected by the highway department to keep someone from going over some cliff and being hurt or being killed. Now that's a lot more sensible than it is at these danger spots of placing an ambulance down at the foot of that cliff in case there is an accident. And so we try to prevent them by building those barricades and trying to keep the hurt or the harm from happening. I believe that's what we need to do always in regard to Scripture teaching. One of the most pathetic Scriptures in my mind in all the Bible, in 2 Samuel 18, verse 29, when a battle had waged, it had been going on for some time, and David the king was waiting for some news of the battle. And one of his men said, "I see a messenger coming." And David thinks it's a particular messenger, and he says, "He's coming with good news because he's a person that always has good news." You know, there's some people, every time you see them, you can expect that they're going to have good news. They're going to have something good to say. And then there are people, it seems, that always are the opposite of that. When you see them, when you converse with them, you expect some bad news. And so David's heart was on an upbeat because he thought the messenger coming was coming with good news. And in the 29th verse, the first thing he asked was, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz, in essence, said, "I don't know. There was a great battle, and I don't know really what happened." And he told him to stand aside. And soon, a Cushite came. Another messenger came fast on the heels of Ahimaaz. David's question to him was, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And his answer was, "May all of the enemies of the king be even as that young man is this day." David went up to the chamber over the gates and he wept. Some of the most pathetic words in all Scripture. And he said, "Oh Absalom, my son, my son, my son, I would to God that I had died instead of you." He got the message. He knew that his son was dead. Absalom, you remember, had rebelled against David. David was king. David had been given the throne by the Lord. But Absalom, his own son, had rebelled against him and had tried to overthrow the kingdom. and had tried to become king himself. Yet David had told his men, "Don't touch that young man." You read in the 17th chapter of 2 Samuel. "Don't let any harm or hurt or any danger come to that boy." But one of David's men had slain Absalom. I guess he thought he was doing a great honor, getting rid of an enemy of David, even though it was David's own son. And so when the news comes of what had taken place, David wept bitterly for Absalom and his son. And in 2 Samuel 18, verse 3, it said, "Even in the palace, that victory was turned into mourning because of the death of Absalom." I would to God that every parent in this audience today would read 2 Samuel 18. Read it again and again. Let that question come into your mind: is the young man safe? Not to relegate it to just Absalom, but to include all of those who are young. Are the young safe? What is their situation? David was a man who followed after God's own heart. David was really special to God, but it seems that some of the most special people, and sometimes some of the most godly people, have had heartache and heartbreak, have had their hearts torn asunder, and have wept as David did. This not only was true of David's family, but even the first family upon this earth. You remember, in that first family, that Cain slew Abel because of his jealousy and such toward him. Because he wasn't willing to make his life right, he went out and slew his brother. Look at all the heartache and all the tragedy in that first family. Go through the Bible and you find family after family after family have known the heartache and heartbreak, even as David did. I've known so many circumstances. I've stood beside the bedside of a parent just about ready to slip over into eternity. And I've heard them say among the last words they ever spoke, "I want you to talk to my children." Because they were lost. "I want you to talk to my children. Maybe something can be done." Several months ago, I stood by the bedside of an aged, fine Christian lady, seriously ill, and in the presence of her daughter who was in the room, she said, "I could die happy if Annie Mae," the daughter's name, "if Annie Mae would just get back in church." And I talked with Annie Mae about it on different occasions. And he didn't make any change until after her mother died. But after her mother had gone on to be with the Lord, in one service, Annie Mae came down the aisle. And I told the audience that day, I remember those words of her mother. I could die happy if I'd see her back in church and with the Lord. And I said, even though her mother doesn't know about this event, it brings joy and the thrill and rejoicing in my heart, and I know in years to see her response. What I'm saying is that all God-loving and God-fearing people are concerned, badly concerned about those who are young. And that question rings down through the ages. Are the young safe? Is a young man safe? Is a young woman safe? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've already given you a good example of that. Of a woman who came back, who had departed from the Lord, but who came back. That scripture we've seen over and over again of young people who've been trained up in the way they should go. And we've seen them when they were advanced in years to come back to their surroundings. Someone said that acorns always fall close to their roots. And isn't that true? Acorns always fall close to their roots. That is, if there's been something ingrained in a heart or a life. It may be that that young person sometime will listen to his or her generation and may be led astray. But if there is that foundation and if there is that teaching, if there's something to come back to, you remember in Luke 15, the prodigal son went far from home. The Bible just says into a far country. I don't know how far it was, but it was far enough for the Bible to describe it as being a far country. You remember he came to the level of feeding the hogs. One of the most despicable things that could be in the world to a Jewish young man. But the scripture says when he came to himself, he realized that there was a home to go to, there was a father's house, and there was bread enough to eat. And so he proceeded to go back home. You see, that home training and what he had realized earlier in life came back to him to flood his mind and to cause him to realize that he wanted to go back home. What I'm simply saying is that parents, you be sure that training and teaching is right, that foundation is solid and secure, to where those children will have something that's been ingrained in them that they can turn back to if or when they deviate from the course that the Lord would have them to go. The safety of the young. All of us are concerned about safety. Ours is a time, it seems, when danger is almost on every side of one kind or another. But I believe the young are exposed to special dangers. Youth is a time of susceptibility. While the tree is small, while it's just a little sapling, while it's young and while it's tender, you can plant that tree or that plant, and you can bend it in any direction you want it to go, because it's pliable. But you let a tree get strong and mighty like a tremendous oak, it doesn't bend very much. It may break, but it doesn't bend very much. That's really the way the young are. The young are susceptible. They can be trained and guided and led. But when a person gets older, and as some use the term, set in his ways, a lot of times a person will break before they'll bend. Youth is a time of trustfulness. Much of the folly of young people may be attributed to their ignorance of this world. When they trust things and they trust people, and they trust people that are not trustworthy, and they depend upon things that are not reliable, and it's because of their susceptibility, it's because of their trustfulness. Youth is also a time of special impulsiveness. The young have fresh blood coursing in their veins, and the freshness of their physical being is but a type of that which characterizes their whole moral and spiritual nature. It is a time of impulsiveness. It is a time when thoughts and opinions are readily received. It's a time when life's habits are formed. It is then that the metal, as it were, is poured into the mold and the image stands through life. The special dangers that the young are exposed to. Companions have a tremendous impact upon those who are young. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walks with the wise shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Solomon says the way to be wise is to walk with the wise. The way to have wisdom is to be with those who possess wisdom. Young people need to be cautious about their companions. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good morals. Some translations translate that communications, that word, companion. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Young people today need, maybe as never before, companions who are wise and those who are godly. You parents in this church, you need to be sure that your children associate in every sense, in every way, with all the activities of this church and the young people in it, because of the tremendous impact and influence that that will be. Now, there's some safeguards from the dangers that young people face. I would, time permitted us, to notice them in detail, but it doesn't. At least we can mention some of them. The love of home. The young man or the young person is not safe as long as there is enmity with his father. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children but to wrath, but nurture them and bring them up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. Children need to love their home, be a place or a haven of comfort and safety. They need a high ideal of life. Absalom, David's son, was one that indulged in expensive habits. In 2 Samuel 15, verse 1, it said that Absalom prepared chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. You see, Absalom was a real important fellow. He had chariots and horses and 50 men going in front of him. He was really, really something. In 2 Samuel 14, verse 25, in all Israel, there was none to be so praised as Absalom for his beauty. Absalom must have been a stunning looking person. Not anyone in Israel to be praised like him because of his beauty, because of the fine looking young man he was. He looked so great. He indulged in expensive habits. Young people need to be industrious in their habits. They need the Christian religion as an anchor, as a strength for them. They need to avoid self-indulgence, as we've mentioned, in expensive ways as Absalom engaged. And then last, what are the great times of need the young people have, and maybe the greatest need in all of life? It's when he or she chooses his occupation. Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. When a person chooses what he or she is going to do, when he establishes his own household, someone said that a person either marries for heaven or hell. I think that's true to a great degree. You remember in 1 Kings 21:25, it is told us, there was none like unto Ahab who did sell himself to do evil in the sight of God, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Ahab was the most wicked man that lived, the Word of God said. Now he was bad anyway. But Scripture says that Jezebel his wife stirred up that evil in him. I'm saying to you that a mate can either stir up the good or stir up the bad. A person marries in many senses, in many ways, for heaven or hell, because it may determine where they spend eternity on the basis of the person they marry. That either encourages them to do right or encourages them to do wrong. Another danger time is the time of first success. When a person has a job, makes his own money, has to decide what to do with it. John Rockefeller, one of the most outstanding and prominent Americans, taught his children, even with a small amount, even with their allowance, to give 10% of it and to save 10% of it. What do we do with success? And then, when the time comes, a first sorrow. This is a difficult time in the life of anyone. A difficult time. A difficult time in the life of those who are young. Trying time. when sorrow comes. And I think all of us have known young people, even who had so much sorrow, so much heartache. What's going to be the response, or what's going to be the reaction when that comes to life's disappointments? Are the young safe? What are we doing about it? What are those parents doing about it? I say that if you want to do for your children, be the Christian mother, father that the Word of God teaches you to be. Be faithful and active in the Lord and in His church. Let religion be first and foremost. You be in the Lord's house every time the door is open. And let your children know that the church is important to you. It's your life. If they think it's sort of optional with you, it's take it or leave it, come or go, then when they grow up, they're going to probably have that same attitude toward it. And that same attitude that they have toward it is not going to be the anchor to hold them in the way they need to go. You let the Lord be first and foremost in your life. Oh, I've heard parents say, now you can't make children go to church or Sunday school. If you do, they're going to turn against it. They'll despise and reject the church when they get older. I don't believe anything at all about that. I don't believe that's true in any sense. I don't think anyone could have ever demanded, required, or expected children to go to church any more than my mother did. All nine of us. It didn't turn those nine children against the church. It didn't turn me against the Lord. It didn't turn me against the church. It made me love it more because I knew my mother did. And I knew she wanted me to. And when someone says to you, someone's going to be turned against something because somebody loves it so dearly with their life and heart, don't you believe it for a single moment. When children see that the church and the Lord is important to their parents, you can be pretty sure it's going to be important to them. But if they get the impression it's just sort of a veneer on the surface kind of thing, doesn't mean any very much to the parents. It's sort of a convenient thing. It won't mean very much 9 times out of 10 to those children when they get older. And I hope and I pray today that you'll believe that. If one person or two believes that today, and doesn't let the old devil snatch the word, as Scripture says, out of your mind and heart and say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about and he's just getting worked up. But I hope many of us will, and I hope all of us will realize the great responsibility we have. Encouraging, strengthening the young. They need our help as never before. And let's don't let them down. Is the young man Absalom safe? Oh, my heart goes out to David when he knew that his boy had died. And David said, I wish I could have died in his place. My heart goes out to him, and I know yours does. But I'm hoping and praying that some other daddy and some other mother will be spared from that heartache and that heartbreak. And I believe they can, and I believe they will. If we'll apply the formula, we'll do what the Lord says. If you want to be spared heartache and heartbreak up ahead, you get as close as you can to the Lord, and you try for all of those children and grandchildren or whoever to be as close as they can to the Lord. You won't be like David. You won't have to weep like he did. Your heart won't have to break maybe like his did.